You heard how it went down. Now, time to sum it all up. This is Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
It's Giannis up top on the pass from Middleton. He flushes it through. An alley-oop, Giannis, 48 points now for the game.
I smell a 50 nugget.
Recap everything you need to know about this game right now.
He's seeking out that 50 piece, dribbles between his legs, pulls the trigger, and he knocks it down. 50 points for the Greek Freak. The Bucks out in front by 11 now. Final shot misses, and there is the rebound. The Bucks win it 128-119. Welcome back, Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Now, here's your host, your analyst, and your MC for the evening.
Make some noise!
Justin Garcia. Yeah!
All right, just what the doctor ordered as the Bucks thump the Pacers behind a huge night from Giannis. He scores 50, his first 50-point game since clinching an NBA championship for the Bucks on this very court back in July, on this very floor back in July. But a 50-point night from Giannis. Oh, by the way, he's now the NBA's leading scorer, and he quietly continues to linger in the MVP discussion. There's a lot that's going to go into that and a lot to be said and sorted out when we talk MVPs. No clear picture on that until we really get to March and April. But Giannis very much in the mix for that award. Joel Embiid, a player the Bucks will see on Thursday, in the mix as well. But most importantly, the Bucks snap this two-game skid, and a rarity. They win on a night where it seems like the rest of the Eastern Conference, except the Boston Celtics, lose. So we've seen over and over again this season, it seems like it's an all-in or all-out approach in the East. Either all the teams lose or all the teams win. Tonight, the Bucks won and actually got help. So Heat and Bulls remain tied atop the conference for the lead. The Bucks next in line, just a game and a half back of both of those teams. Two games back in the loss column. All things considered, you can't really complain with the Bucks' lot in life right now in the Eastern Conference. 855-616-1620 is the Acunet Mortgage Talk and Text Line to get in touch with us tonight on the program on Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. Look, we could say, hey, where are the Bucks going to be when the All-Star break rolls around? Still a lot to sort out, and we don't know what to expect in that game on Thursday. We know James Harden is not going to play. Grayson Allen, I think this was kind of an under-the-radar, file this one away and keep an eye on it. Grayson Allen's been battling hip soreness for the last couple of weeks. We've seen him appear on the injury report a handful of times. We've seen him miss some time due to that issue. Now Grayson Allen misses a game, or leaves the game, I should say. You have one game standing between you and 8 days off. I know it was brought up to Bud a little bit there just before he wrapped up his post-game press conference, but you do wonder, will we see Grayson Allen on Thursday, or do you just give him extended rest, which appears to be what they're doing with George Hill? We heard that was going to be a possibility going into the road trip. We saw he didn't play at all during that road trip. He's been out the last two games now. It's eight straight games that George Hill has been out with one game left. I got to believe you won't see George Hill either. But the good news is there are reinforcements on the way for the Bucks. At least one reinforcement who was here tonight, by the way. We'll get to that. We will get to another big night from Giannis. This started out as a Chris Middleton game where we were going to begin the show talking about all the good things that Chris Middleton did, heap more praise on what he has done. We heard, or I should say I had a chance to hear Rick Carlisle before the game talk at length about all the good things that Chris Middleton has done and why he is such a big fan of his game. And then somewhere along the way, Giannis just continued to dominate and became the story of the game. Also, I just mentioned a couple of those scores. A look at the standings and what these teams near or in front of the Bucks have left between now and the All-Star break. So realistically, what is the Eastern Conference picture we expect to be looking at Friday morning going into an extended All-Star break? And tonight was the Mac Fun game. It is a regular season game now. It used to be a preseason game. Hadn't had a chance to do this for the last 2 years. because of COVID and restrictions with fans being in the building here last season. But tonight, the MacFun game made its return as a regular season game. John McLaughlin was on hand, obviously. When you mention MacFun, Johnny Mac is the first name that comes to mind. I had a chance to catch up with Johnny Mac. You heard part of it at halftime. We'll bring you the rest of the interview later on the program as well. But the number to get in touch with us tonight, 855-616-1620. I mentioned there is at least one reinforcement on the way. That is DeAndre Bembry, who, by the way, if you follow him on Instagram, was here tonight in a suite taking in the game. So get the feeling this move will be officially announced tomorrow, and then who knows, maybe that means we will see DeAndre Bembry in the final game in the first half of the season against the 76ers on Thursday. But what to expect from DeAndre Bembry, and what's the latest on another big target that the Bucks have, a name we discussed at length on last night's program. We'll get to that after this on Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices.
Rebound batted around and ultimately vacuumed in by Middleton. He takes it the other direction. Lobs it up the court to Giannis. He'll have an easy dunk on another assist from Cash Money Middleton, who is dealing tonight.
Chris Middleton with a big bounce back game. And look, if Chris Middleton plays this way yesterday, this is still going to be the Chris Middleton appreciation hour, Greg, so don't get that part of it twisted. But this is what you needed from Chris yesterday, and you probably beat the Trailblazers. It was really one bad quarter that doomed the Bucks in yesterday's game, and it did start to feel like, man, did we just trade third quarter woes for second quarter woes? Because tonight that was looking to be the case. Second quarter was a disaster for the Bucks in yesterday's loss to the Trailblazers. Second quarter tonight, it wasn't a disaster, but you took a 7-point lead into that quarter. The Pacers outscored you by one in the second and in the third, but you started to get that sense before a late charge by the Bucks in the second quarter of, is the second quarter the new problem quarter? Is this what we have to worry about?
Yeah, what gives?
You know what? You know what fixes all that?
What?
You know what fixes all that? 50 points from Giannis.
Yes, sir.
50 points from Giannis. A big night from Chris Middleton as well. I mean, look, I said it in the last segment. The start of this show was going to be another Chris Middleton appreciation thread of, you know what? Disappointing game yesterday, but Chris Middleton puts it behind him, puts in these types of performances, reminds you why he's an all-star and why he's in some pretty elite company in Bucks history for all-star appearances. It's only, I think, three players that have more trips to the all-star game as a member of the Bucks than Chris Middleton does. One of them is his teammate. But 33 minutes, he was 7 of 12 from the floor, scored 19 points, 8 assists, 0 turnovers. That is the biggest number. Yesterday, we touched on most of the assists, almost all of the Bucks' assists came from both Chris and Drew. That was the good, the bad, almost all of their turnovers. I think they had 13 turnovers as a team yesterday, and 11 came from Chris and Drew combined. They had 13 turnovers once again today. 2 came from Chris and Drew combined, and that duo, by the way, dished out 16 of their 28 assists. Bucks have lost just once this season when they have 25 or more assists. So it sounds easy. Hey, move the ball. How many times have we heard Pat Connaughton and Giannis and Chris and Drew and Bud, whoever it is, talk about, we're tough to beat when we move the ball. We're a really tough team to defend. Seems so easy to point out, just move the ball, pass it around. Don't keep it on one end of the floor. The numbers back it up. One loss this season. I got to re-crunch the numbers, Greg, but I think it's 26-1. So it's not as though it's, hey, they've lost once, but they've only had 7 instances there. It's over 20 that they've won. So move the ball and they'll win. It's as simple as that, and that's what we saw tonight with 28 assists, 13 turnovers, a 2-to-1 assist to turnover ratio. That's the stuff that you need here with this team. So you got a big, big game from Chris, who was incredibly efficient. Giannis as well, 17 of 21. He scored 50 points, very reminiscent of the 47-point performance he had against the Portland Trail Blazers last year, where I believe he was 18 of 21 from the field, 14 of 18 at the free throw line as well. I mean, the free throw shooting for Giannis, I think I saw the stat in the calendar year of 2022. He's close to 80% at the free throw line. He's basically been a 75% free throw shooter all of this regular season. So we've seen that start to tick upwards as well. But I heard Ben mention it a couple of times too. It's just starting to come natural to him, the decisions as a ball handler and the passes that he makes. There was one sequence specifically where the Bucks were on a fast break. I believe it was O'Shea Brissett that just camped out in the paint and was trying to draw the charge from Giannis. It is the prototypical play we saw from 2016 through 2020, first half of 2020, first 2019, somewhere in that range, where you would see, okay, just sit in the lane and dare Giannis to try and go around you. You'll get the charge. It looked like that's what we were going to get tonight. Giannis made the right read, found Jordan Wara in the corner, and it's just stuff like that. We've seen it pop up more and more and more this season, but a 50-point night where he misses four shots and takes 21 shot attempts and scores 50 points. Stuff like this is becoming all too common for Giannis, that it almost feels like we're taking this for granted. Oh, by the way, Giannis scored 50 again. 855-616-1620, the Acunet Mortgage talk and text line. Let's head to the phone lines and talk with Nathan, who was at the game tonight. Nathan, you're on Bucks Talk.
We just left the stadium, and I wanted to get your opinion on Lindell Wigginton. I felt as if once Grayson went out with hip soreness, I felt like he really played well. He hit some threes. He got his hands in the passing lane, like knocking some out of bounds, playing decent defense. He did have a couple air balls and mistakes, but I feel like he actually had a decent game.
Bucks legend Lindell Wigginton, yeah. I mean, this is two straight games now. What's so funny?
Oh, I'm just nothing.
This is two straight games now where he played pretty well. Two straight nights where he set career highs. He gave them some big minutes, as Nathan pointed out, especially once Grayson Allen went down. And, you know, you looked around and you saw, man, Grayson hasn't been out there in a while. And then we get the text from Bucks Media Relations of, yep, hip soreness, he's not going to return. And then you do a quick scan of the bench and you see there's Wes in street clothes. There's George in street clothes.
Man.
There's Pat Connaughton with a splint on his wrist. Dante DiVincenzo somewhere in Sacramento. Like, who else do we have? And Lindell Wigginton just said, don't worry, guys. I got this. And look, he's not going to be in the playoff rotation. Temper your expectations, certainly. But overall, this was a pretty solid showing from Lindell Wigginton. Two games in a row on back-to-back days against the Blazers and against the Indiana Pacers tonight. Scored 12 points. Now, if there is one criticism, I think Ben mentioned it at one point on the broadcast, the jumper seems to be feast or famine for Lindell Wigginton, but he scored 23 points in these last two games, played 17 minutes last night. Tonight, you needed a little more, having essentially just nine players. He played 28 minutes. He has started to do some things that, you know, you look at and you say, well, we need more guys. We need some of these performances and some of these spurts of somebody that can give you 5 minutes in one of these regular season games. Maybe more than that if play warrants it. And Lindell Wigginton has moved into that category where it's been basically a revolving door of what the Bucks have done with that second two-way contract and players in the backcourt. And look, I understand the sample size is small for all of these players, but Lindell Wigginton far and away has been the best that we've seen. Justin Robinson, Javonte Smart, who, by the way, there's some news on him. Lindell Wigginton, he is the one guy that has really taken this opportunity and made the most of it. So, again, we're not expecting Lindell Wigginton to be a regular in their playoff rotation or to all of a sudden carve out, hey, he's going to play 15 minutes a game. But we've seen in these two games enough from him that he plays within himself. He's not out there forcing anything. I like some of the defensive switchability that he has as well. We saw that especially in the game against the Blazers. There's, you know, a lot that he's done well. We talk about make winning plays without scoring the basketball. To me, he did more than just the 12 points. He did that. So, overall, this was a great performance from your bench. We've talked about how much that second unit has struggled to just give you punch. They scored 36 points tonight. Doesn't seem like a lot, but for a Bucks bench that's really struggled to put the ball in the net, you got to win when you have performances like this from the second unit. 855-616-1620, the Acunet Mortgage Talk and Text Line. Your thoughts on tonight's victory, and oh, by the way, another great game from Giannis. Mentioned at the top of the show, he now leads the NBA in scoring at 29.4 points per game. We'll take a look at the latest projections for the Eastern Conference, went through the standings. Also, what's left for all those teams in the top six in the Eastern Conference. And since I mentioned the performance from Giannis, the fact that he still leads, or not still, but now leads the NBA in scoring, he's going to face off with Joel Embiid, who was up there for a majority of the season. What's the latest on the MVP odds? We'll check in with that after this. You're listening to Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices.
War with a head fake from three, driving on Kiefer Sykes. Double team arrives. He passes out of it to Wigginton. Wigginton thought about the three. Now he will unload. And he cans another one. Lindell Wigginton, back-to-back threes, this time from right in front of his own bench.
Lindell Wigginton, Lindell legend here. 12 points tonight, including that triple. The Bucks beat the Indiana Pacers. Unbeaten against the Pacers at home under coach Mike Budenholzer. The last loss here in Milwaukee against the Pacers came in March of 2018, almost 4 years ago to the day, is the last time the Bucks lost to the Pacers here in Milwaukee. 855-616-1620 is the Acunet Mortgage Talk and Text Line. If you want to join us on Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. And Greg, so usually we've done this thing now where we do your nightly check-in at the projected standings by the 538. Now, I was all set to do this and say, hey, we've seen more movement atop the conference. Let's take a look at the latest projections here. But as soon as I loaded it up, the first thing I saw made me second-guess myself and say, why are we doing this? According to the 538, and this was updated at 27 minutes ago, 10:02 p.m. According to the 538, the team right now with the best chance of reaching the finals and also the best chance of winning the NBA Finals, would you care to venture a guess at which team they have, according to their models, as the team with the best chance to not only get to the finals, but also the best chance to win the finals?
I don't think I'd be going out on a limb to say the Milwaukee Bucks.
It is not the Milwaukee Bucks.
Well, I think we know.
The Bucks had the Bucks had been up there for quite a bit, even when they were around fifth. That the models here that they use for their Raptor ratings still favored the Bucks quite a bit. Above the Miami Heat, above the Nets. It's not the Bucks. Phoenix Suns have been up there. It's not the Phoenix Suns.
Don't
it is an Eastern Conference team.
Don't say it.
The Boston Celtics, they give a 35% chance to reach the finals and a 21% chance to win the finals. That is tops in both of those categories. For what it's worth, the Bucks have the third greatest chance of reaching the finals at a 31% chance. Phoenix Suns have a 32% chance, and the Celtics have a 21% chance to win the finals. Both the Bucks and the Phoenix Suns have an 18% chance, which is second. But we were trending towards this for a while, where you kind of felt like Icarus every time we would look at these projected standings and say, all right, I see some things here that, yeah, maybe this supports my argument, but I'm also seeing a couple other things here that feels like you're flying a little too close to the sun, Nate Silver. And now the Boston Celtics have finally become number one on this list of teams with the best projected odds of winning the NBA championship. Also, mention the MVP awards here. Giannis, Joel Embiid, Nikola Jokic. I mean, those are the three clear candidates. Chris Paul is another name. Keep an eye on him, especially with the success that the Suns have had. But it does seem as though it's those three big men. You're going to have, potentially, Giannis versus Joel Embiid on Thursday. Now, this has not been updated yet after the performance that Giannis had tonight, but Basketball Reference, which has a similar model that they use, aggregating the way that voters have voted for the past few years in the MVP voting, they've put together this model that projects who has the best chance of winning the MVP. Now, Giannis led it earlier in the season. As of yesterday's games, Nikola Jokic was running away with this at about a 36% chance to win it. Giannis was second at 22%. You wonder how much he's narrowed the gap with a 50-point performance tonight. And again, moving into the number one list for leading scorers in the NBA this season. 855-616-1620 is the Acunet Mortgage Talk and Text Line. If you want to join us on Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. When we return, had a chance to catch up with Bucks legend, not Lindell Wigginton, a man that does have his number raised in the rafters here at Fiserv Forum. John McLaughlin in town for the Mac Fun game. I had a chance to catch up with Johnny Mac. You'll hear the conversation next on Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. All right, the Bucks beat the Indiana Pacers here at Fiserv Forum on a night where Giannis scores 50 points, a big night for the two-time MVP. MVPs, by the way, something we have long seen associated with the Mac Fund. John McLaughlin, one of the driving forces behind that organization, along with Eddie Doucette, the former radio broadcast voice of the Bucks, but it has been a long-standing tradition to have the Mac Fund game here in Milwaukee, and a tradition we were robbed of the last couple of years because of everything going on with COVID. But it returned tonight, a regular season edition of the Mac Fun game. That is going to be a staple moving forward, by the way. But John McLaughlin in town for those festivities. I had a chance to catch up with Johnny Mac earlier today. When you mentioned the Mac Fund, it really starts with the person sitting next to me now and John McLaughlin. So good to see you. Good to have you back here in Wisconsin and around the Bucks a lot more. But tonight, the Mac Fund, to see this continuing now, what does it mean to you?
Oh, after my family, it means everything. My faith, my family, and then the Mac Fund. And the Mac Fund, Justin, I really believe has been guided and blessed by God and directed how we've gone all these 46 years, and how we started it, and then how we started to promote it on Bucks Radio and TV, and then how it started to grow. And I'll give you an example. One is wherever I go, every day people stop me, and half the time it's Mac Fun. They'll say Mac Fun to me, and I'll say that's best thing you can say. But without the Milwaukee Bucks, there would be no Mac Fun. Eddie Doucette and I would not have had the forum to promote it on radio and TV and announce it on my retirement night that this is what we're forming and what we're doing. And people will say, well, did you know it would be this big? And I went, no. God could see that. None of us could, of course. I just took it day by day, week by week, month by month, and year by year, and we did what we could. The first year, in 1976 to 77, we raised $35,000. And now we've given almost $80 million in the fight against childhood cancer directly to research to great institutions here in Wisconsin, Medical College of Wisconsin, Children's Hospital, and Carbone Cancer Center in Madison and Marshfield Clinic. They do research in all of these. And because of that research, Justin, we are saving more kids' lives. Back in 76, it was fairly bleak.
Yeah.
Only about 20% of the kids survived 5 years. Today, it's over 80%. There are still side effects and there are still problems, but we're getting it done. And we also give money to research for blood disorders and certainly childhood cancer research. But we've got to keep doing it.
What to you is the lasting impact? I know it's still going strong, but what to you is the lasting impact of the Mac Fund?
Well, You know, I've been around a long time. I've been here in Wisconsin, with the Bucks, 53 years, and it's our home. And Justin, we're here all full time now, actually. We don't go away much, and we always have been. It's always been our home. My two children are raised here, and now my grandchildren, and we're going to basketball games and things for them, which I'm enjoying greatly. It was time for me to step down about 3 or 4 years ago, and I was ready. And so I really don't miss the job, because I stay aware of what's going on with the Bucks and the games and everything. But I hope probably it won't be in my lifetime, but we can keep winning battles to get to the war of defeating childhood cancer. And I believe if the MAC Fund will go on after me, because we have it set up so we've got great staff and board of directors and people involved, that the doctors tell us we can beat it, and someday we will. So I hope the MAC Fund is here to see that.
Well, and it's almost become part of the legacy of being one of the premier Wisconsin sports athletes, is you see the connection and you see the impact that the MAC Fund has made, and it's almost the unwritten rule of you got to be involved with this too. When you see the amount of athletes here that have come through the Bucks and the Brewers and the Packers that have been associated with it as well.
Right. It's true. You know, back in the early days of the MAC Fund, we had this golf outing, our first event, and we had all the 82 Brewers, you know, Robin and Paulie and Gorman, and all those guys, Cecil, and they would come to that event. Every player and every coach would come to the golf outing, and we'd have it on an off day so they could come. And back in those days, there weren't as many other charities that players did for themselves, because they didn't make millions. Today, a lot of guys have their own foundations and do a lot of good work. And therefore, you know, the MAC Fund is one of the charities that we have to share that time with the great players like Giannis and Aaron, who was a big MAC Fund guy, but has moved on to his own foundation. So it's a world we live in, but athletes still want to be involved, and we want them involved.
Well, again, the annual MAC Fund game is tonight. I can't let you go without bringing up what happened over the summer. The last time I saw you, actually, was in this room to honor your longtime partner, Jim Paschke. We're now sitting in the Jim Paschke room, but you look at everything that's happened the last couple of years with this franchise, the development and the arena that we're in now. You see Jim Paschke getting a room named after himself, but you were back for one of those games in the finals. Mm-hmm. To see this team win an NBA championship, and you were here for the first one, what was the differences? What did it feel like to be a member of the first one and then to see from afar, well, they did it again 50 years later?
Well, and I want to get on record and say also Peter Fagan contacted me to come back for the parade, because we didn't have a parade in 71. People have heard me talk about that. And that was really kind. And I was in Arizona selling our house, and I couldn't make it. It was that day, and I couldn't. But he offered, and I will never forget that. That was very kind. I don't know. It's kind of almost a deja vu, and yet at the same time, like, well, yeah, we did it again 50 years later. I you know, it was so different. I was obviously a big part of the first one. This one I wasn't, but the Milwaukee Bucks organization, no matter who owns us, who the players or coaches are, is part of the McLaughlin family. My children grew up as Bucks people. You know, I worked here 53 years as a player and announcer. No, this is family, and so they will always be family in my home. And thanks to these owners with Peter Fagan, they've given me great respect, and they've kept me involved as much as I want to be. And that's really kind. And I have to say, going through it was thrilling. So much more hype and attention than what we had, because of the world has changed and whole social media and everything. But what an experience to go through the first one and then go through this one as closely as I could and experience it for our city and our state. And when you look at what this state has had, you know, we've got three major MVPs here in baseball, football, and basketball. And a lot of that's luck. You know, you got the luck of things to work out in any championship and growth like this, but it's what you do with it, and they've done a great job with it. I think John Horst is magnificent. I think the world of him and known him for many years. When he served at the knee of John Hammond, But he and Dave Dean are John Hammond people, and that's a compliment in my world.
Well, again, the MacFund game is tonight. It's an annual tradition. It's back, and we get to have people here. We get to have the MacFund game because of that. It's going to be in the regular season going forward, so that makes it a much bigger deal as well. You have been heavily involved with it, obviously, since its inception, and I've told you this countless times, but getting the chance to know you and work around you, I grew up with you and Jim and watching basketball. You taught me basketball, so to still be able to see, hey, yeah, I know that guy. It's very special to me, and you've always been more helpful and kind than you should be with me, and that's the story that everybody has. It's the same with you and Jim, that everybody feels like they know you, and you've always been very welcoming to them, so can't say enough for everything you've done.
That's so kind of you, and as you know, I've had my moments where I like to tease you in the press room when it's just us, but that's because I like you a lot, and you've been kind, and a lot of the media people, I still get letters and requests. I just talked to my wife about 4 days a week, and sometimes beautiful letters. I just received one from 36-year-old man, and he said, oh, in my house, you and Jim were kings. And I'd ask my dad a basketball question, and he would say, well, just wait, Johnny Mac will tell you. But, and what you've said to me, it's humbling. It's humbling, but it's a testimony to be kind to people. You know, let's take time for each other and care about each other. And there's a payback and a pay forward to that.
The great Johnny Mack, and I am not alone, where he was one of the first that really made me feel welcomed in this role. And there are countless people that have had that same experience with John McLaughlin, with Jim Paschke, Marcus Johnson, and Lisa and Dave, all of them. It's all great people, but for Johnny Mack and Jim Paschke, for that duo, as many of us around the same age group grew up, that was Bucks basketball. So, always special whenever he's in town, and good to catch up with him. And I think he was talking to you specifically, Greg, when he said treat people well at the very end of it there. A message for all of us, especially with the Harden versus Simmons discourse. 855-616-1620 is the Acunet Mortgage talk and text line. If you want to join us tonight on the program, before we go to break, speaking of join us tonight on the program and be kind and treat people well, we welcome in our friend Southside James on Bucks Talk. What's going on, James?
Well, I didn't know it was the Bucks. What do you call it, Johnny Mac? What do you call Mac the Fun. Mac Fun game? But I was calling in. I'm glad that we won. You know, with Giannis scoring 50 points, but to me, I think I would have rested one more game because what his ankle is at, if it was, to make it worse, or possibility blow an ankle out for one game, and then he's down for a bunch of games. I don't know. I'm a fan of the Bucks and that, and I want to see Giannis and the team repeat. I don't want to see us blow it, because, you know, we sometimes overlook or sometimes figure we can go. I know Giannis wants to go play all the time. You know, he doesn't want to go on out and that. But, you know, we all wish we had all that heart like he has to play the game.
James, we just talked about Johnny Mack giving us the positive outlook and saying, hey, do nice things, be kind to people. And you come in guns blazing with, I don't know if Giannis should have played.
Hello?
Yeah, we're here.
Hello.
You ruined the vibe tonight, James. Come on, we're all in an uplifting mood.
Well, but
the positive outlook of Johnny Mack.
Well, you know what? How can I say it? Johnny Mack's done a lot for the community and everything else, and everything else. But like I said, I'm glad the Bucks won with Giannis scoring 50 points and everything else. But I did one game. Sometimes you can make a darkened season too of you winning or losing as a team, and that's where I was coming from.
All right, James. Always good to hear from you. Let's try it again, though. Glad the Bucks won.
I'm glad Giannis Bucks
scored.
Won.
Glad Giannis scored 50. Hard stop.
Yes, I am. Hey, he's like I said. He wants to play every minute. If we had 50, if we had a whole team of Giannis's, we probably would win the rest of the games.
82-0. James, good to hear from you. The Bucks beat the Pacers tonight at Fiserv Forum. 50 points from Giannis. When we return, I know this is an audio format, so you're going to have to bear with me here, but did you see what the newest member of the 76ers was wearing to take in his new teammates' game? More after this on Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. Ain't no way they can stop
me now. So the Bucks going the other way. Giannis is still out there. He's got the basketball now into the front court. He's seeking out that 50-piece. Dribbles between his legs. Pulls the trigger. And he knocks it down. 50 points for the Greek Freak. The Bucks out in front by 11 now.
Finished the game with 50 points tonight, did Giannis. Jalen Smith, by the way, our Bucks tweet of the night comes to us from our friend Frank Madden. You can hear on the Locked On Bucks podcast, Frank Madden pointing out the last time the recently acquired Jalen Smith was on the floor here at Fiserv Forum was with the Phoenix Suns. Game 6 of the NBA Finals, where he watched Giannis score 50 points and the Milwaukee Bucks win a championship. He gets traded from the Suns to the Pacers in the Torrey Craig trade. First game back in Milwaukee, he watches Giannis score 50 points. So if you're Jalen Smith, you're thinking, what is it about this building that Giannis is just a monster and scores 50 points? Gave you the standings. Again, the Heat and the Bulls are atop the Eastern Conference. The Milwaukee Bucks right now, technically third, but the second best record at 36-23. Both the Heat and the Bulls, 37-21. Now, both the Heat and the Bulls have one game apiece between now and the All-Star break. So that means the Bucks cannot move into first place going into the break. It's either going to be the Heat or the Bulls or both of those teams. The Bulls play tomorrow night against the Sacramento Kings. Heat lost earlier tonight against the Dallas Mavericks. They play the Charlotte Hornets same night that the Bucks play the 76ers. So we're going to continue to have a bunched up Eastern Conference moving into the All-Star break. And look, we thought we would start to see separation right around this point of the season. We played how much I failed on my predictions for the standings on February 1st. I have no idea when this is going to sort out. This may be this way going into the final weekend of the regular season. And really, you can't talk about seeding and where should the Bucks finish or where should this team finish until you get to April and there's 2 weeks or less left in the season and you can start to see a path. And, okay, there's 10 or fewer games remaining, 5 games remaining, getting a good idea of what's going to happen. We're still far away from that. But in the Eastern Conference, there are landmines all over the place. And the biggest challenges is, you know, the Brooklyn Nets right now are 3 games out of getting out of the play-in tournament. Kevin Durant isn't expected back until a little bit after the All-Star break. We don't know when when Ben Simmons is going to make his Brooklyn Nets and season debut. He talked earlier today in their media availability since that trade and said, I hope I can play by the March 10th game against the Philadelphia 76ers, but that's up in the air. Brooklyn has basically carved out this spot where they're approaching 60 games. They're going to have played 58 games going into the All-Star break, meaning they got 24 games left. Let's say Kevin Durant comes back 4 games into the break. That would give you 20 games feasibly with Kevin Durant moving into the stretch drive of the season. But even then, with the injuries that he suffered, How much are you going to put your foot on the gas pedal with him? If Kevin Durant comes back March 1st, that means he'll miss the first 3 games after the All-Star break. So that would give you 21 games of his availability. With him, look, they can win a very high clip. That's what they did this regular season. But realistically, you're reaching the point in Brooklyn where you got to go 18-3, 17-4 in those games to crawl out of that hole in the play-in tournament. So the point being, Brooklyn is likely going to be in the play-in tournament. We expect them to have James Harden, I keep saying it, we expect them to have Kevin Durant by then. Kyrie Irving, Who knows? But let's say they have him full-time capacity. They're going to win the play-in tournament. They're going to be the seventh seed. So all of a sudden that means if you're the two seed, what is the incentive if the Brooklyn Nets, flawed as they may be, are the team that's waiting there for you? What if the 76ers finish fourth or fifth? What if the Bucks do? I mean, it's not like we've seen traditionally where, yeah, these three teams at the top of the standings, they're the best teams. They're going to be sprinkled all throughout where maybe the Bulls win the conference in the regular season. Maybe the Cavs are up there. That just spreads out those matchups, and it leaves a lot of traps. So this Eastern Conference is going to be volatile by the time we get to the postseason. Before we wrap things up, Greg, did you have a chance to see, I mentioned his name over and over when I didn't mean to, James Harden was in Philadelphia, met with the media earlier today, had some very interesting comments. We can play some of those on Thursday's show. He won't play in that game, but as we take a look at the 76ers, James Harden, though, met with the media today and took in the 76ers game. Did you happen to have a chance to see what he was wearing?
Looks uncomfortable.
It was something. All right. I had to do a triple take to see, wait, is this a jacket? Is that a one piece? But, man, if you have not seen or read the article on Bleacher Report about James Harden and the exit from Brooklyn the final few weeks, the mutual decision by the Nets and Kevin Durant of, you know what, this isn't going to work. It is a fascinating read. James Harden, we think, will be in Milwaukee on Thursday. He will not be on the floor, though, as the Bucks wrap up the first half of the season against the Philadelphia 76ers here at Fiserv Forum. It is a 7:30 tip. 7 o'clock is when our network coverage begins. And, of course, Bucks talk immediately following the game. My thanks to everybody that chimed in and hung out with us for the last hour. My thanks to Greg Hill for producing the show as well. Talk to you once again Thursday night with more Bucks Talk presented by Gruber Law Offices.